Welcome back all. As this video comes out on YouTube, I will be somewhere, I think, quite close to halfway up Norway. So I made sure to record this episode just before I head off on the Norwegian Arctic road trip. Thank you as ever, everyone, for continuing to get in touch. I can't thank you enough because, honestly, without you all being kind enough to share your thoughts and your opinions, it would be impossible to make these episodes on a weekly basis. So it's genuinely all thanks to you. Best place to do so, comment section below. If you have a longer story, maybe with some pictures, please do email hi@choosethatdobbs.com. Start this week. The motorcycle, many of you may have been waiting for, but maybe deep down you thought, look, it's never gonna happen. The Bender. Does that mean anything? I wouldn't blame you if it doesn't. The Bender. Bender is the brand of motorcycle. Chinchilla 500. This is a 500cc V-twin cruiser with 47 horsepower, 215 kilos. It will come out in July 2025. So I think you can already now put a pre-order down. This is imminent. And the cost, £5,300 plus on road charges. Maybe that's £150, £200. But under £5,500 for a V-twin cruiser. Did we ever think we would see the day again? Take a look at these pictures here from the Bender website or the MotoGP website where they're going to be selling them. This looks incredible. If Harley-Davidson came out with this bike and said, here it is, this is the bike you've been waiting for, the new Harley-Davidson Sports with a 500cc V-twin engine, I would be saying, welcome back, Harley. That's it. That is exactly the bike that you need to bring out to appeal to a younger audience. But Bender have done it. They have done, for me, a staggeringly good job. I would say that is a market leader, a market beater in the industry. Take a look at the Honda Rebel 500. This has a V-twin engine and the proportions, they're better than the Rebel 500. You could also look at the Royal Enfield Super Meteor 650. I'd have to say that, and I'm a fan of that Royal Enfield, this is even a better looking version of that. Just the proportions of it, the fact it's got that V-twin engine as well. I was blown away an hour ago when I saw it for the first time, and I'm blown away now. Just, this is bang on. You can go onto MotoGP, £500 deposit for this bike, and then 3 years of paying £172 a month. And that's it. You own the bike then. How highly do you all rate this bike? Because so many people have wanted an entry into V-twin cruisers. Since Harley-Davidson got rid of the Sportster, that's all gone now. This is it. There is no competition for this bike. A 500cc V-twin that looks that good? I don't think there's anything else at all that even comes close to rivaling it. That could be a revelation. I can't wait to see what that's like in the flesh. On now to something slightly bigger. Never besmirch the Goldwing name, ever. If you ever say that a Goldwing isn't anything other than faultlessly reliable, you're in for trouble. I had a lot of people saying, Freddie, the Australian gentleman from 2 weeks ago with his Honda Goldwing that broke down after 400 kilometers, secondhand Goldwing, with a repair bill of £9,000 sterling. He's just got insanely unlucky, and the previous owner probably just destroyed that bike through lack of maintenance, because Goldwings should never, ever break. Take a listen to this from FlexiWing. Freddie, the Goldwing you featured, and honestly, I could read out about 100 of these. I've chosen FlexiWing. The Goldwing you featured must have been a very unloved bike, because Goldwings are known for their reliability and super high mileage. It wasn't that long ago that you featured high mileage bikes, and weren't most of them Hondas? I own a 1990 1500cc Goldwing, and I sold it with 80,000 miles, and the new owner, last I heard, had put another 60,000 miles with no problems, still on the original clutch and not using any oil. If Goldwings are looked after, they will go to the moon and back in true style and comfort. Okay, FlexiWing, let's have a look and see. I've done a bit of research here. High mileage Honda Goldwings. There are three that really stand out here that have helped to make the Goldwing name legendary. The first one is a gentleman known as Million Mile Phil Steiner. Phil Steiner has ridden multiple Goldwings, including a 2015 GL1800 that has, get ready and sit down. This is legit, I've checked everywhere, this is proper. It has 704,000 miles on the clock. But not only that, he also has an older 2002 Honda Goldwing, and that has 554,000 miles on the clock. Both of their engines are original, and as far as I can tell from everything I've read, neither bike has ever required any big engine work. I go on to Alan's Art. I think this is another American, actually. The Americans seem to like these. Alan's ridden a 1975. This is the older one. See, it's in the DNA for Goldwings. It's not just one specific model. This is the original one, 1975 Honda Goldwing, for over 1 million miles. 1 million miles, not kilometers, miles, making him another record holder. Alan Zart bought the bike when he was 17 years old. He's now over 60 years old. And again, to the best of my knowledge, he's still got the bike. There's a picture of him when he first got it as a teenager. I'll do one more, but really this is nowhere near special enough. Daniel Wallander mentioned a Goldwing GL1800 with 425,000 miles on the clock. Still considered very high mileage, but nothing compared to those two. Okay, fine. Fine, I will not even bother saying Honda Goldwing's reliability is in question. You'll always get a freak somewhere when an owner previous to this Australian gentleman just hasn't looked after or have abused it. Or sometimes you simply may get unlucky, but the wide scheme of things, the Goldwings, they do look to be fairly unbreakable. And some of these mileages are unlike anything any motorbike really has ever seen. And it's no coincidence here. There are three of them, four of them right here. But what can I find? I want to find my very own high mileage Goldwing hero. What can I find in the UK? I'm disappointed to say. I did want to find one with over 100,000 miles, but I can't. Highest mileage I can find, 72,000 miles for the big beast, the GL1800 Goldwing, with that massive sofa-like pillion chair on the back, the aerial there, huge amounts of wind protection. But it's massive, and I have no doubt there that a better mile muncher doesn't exist. But I want to see if I can get something a little bit smaller. Something inspired by Alan Zart over in the US with his 1975 Goldwing that he's done 1 million miles on. This is my choice. Honda GL1000 Goldwing. This is one of the original ones with the 1000cc engine, 27,000 miles on the clock. So just so little, it's just not even worth talking about. 1976, so just 1 year after Alan Zart. MOT and ULEZ exempt. It's so old you don't need to worry about any of that. And it even comes from a dealer registered in August 1976. I also really like these ones because if, incredibly unlucky, if something does happen to it, there's no plastic fairings or anything getting in the way of maintenance. It's all just there in front of you. And I think they look incredibly good. So there we go. My Goldwing pick would be a 1976 version, but Goldwings, there you go. Unbreakable, surely. Australia's biggest selling motorcycle. Can any of you guess? Maybe not now, but certainly up until about 10, 15 years ago. Australia's biggest selling motorbike and also a cult hero, selling over 2,000 motorbikes a year to the Australian Postal Service. I'm sure most of you will know that. This is from Andy. I begin. Freddie, Nathan Millward's book, The Amazing Adventures of Dorothy, about his journey from Australia back to the UK on a postie bike, is a must read. It actually inspired me to buy one, and now I own a 1981 Honda CT1100, and here it is. I knew almost nothing about these bikes, really, because to the best of my knowledge, we didn't really ever get these in the UK. If they ever sold these bikes in the UK, It was for such a tiny time span that no one ever knew they were for sale, because I've checked everywhere. I really can't find much to say that they were ever properly for sale here. So if you want one of these, you need to look a bit harder than for a normal bike. Captain Chunk continues, Freddie, the Honda CT125, this is the new one. It's available new in the UK and it's called the Hunter Cub. See, I looked right now for new. It doesn't exist. Maybe they sold it in 2020 or something, but certainly now, these bikes, as a new proposition, don't exist in the UK. But what is it about these bikes that makes them so iconic, so legendary? I'll try and uncover a bit of this. The CT series of bikes, here we go, came out in 1964. CT stands for, to the best of my knowledge, Trail Cub. So those two bits, Cub first off, which I believe is what this Hunter is based off, and then the Trail, that it's a more off-road oriented version of the trusty Honda Cub. It's called a few different things in different places. In the UK, for example, it's called the Hunter Cub. It's called the Trail Cub in North America, and in some other areas, they simply call it the Trail or the CT110, the CT125. So remember all of those names, because when you're searching for one of these, you may have to put any one of those four options in. The reason this bike became famous, though, it was because of the Australians. This became known as the Post Bike, the Postie, because the Australian Postal Service used this as their vehicles to race around Australia dropping off mail. It's not the exact kind of bike that you'd expect for that, with the vast expanses of scenery out in Australia. Up until 2010, this is incredible, the Australian Post was still receiving hundreds, all the way up until just 15 years ago. The main differences here between, again, the equally iconic, probably even more so, Honda Cub that's well known the world over, and the Honda Hunter are taller suspension, higher mounted air intake duct, higher mounted exhaust, larger fuel tank, reinforced steering head, kickstarter in addition to electric, and a rear disc brake. Damn it, this is, I really want one of these now. You take a Honda Cub that I love and you turn it into like a Mad Max apocalyptic style vehicle. In 2020, Honda relaunched the CT as the CT125. This is with their current range of bikes with that 125cc engine. But they launched it for Australia and the USA, and I really don't know if it's been launched in other countries, surely Japan, for any significant amount of time. Certainly not that I could find. I like this though, because these are two countries, Australia and the USA. They're the exact two countries that you would expect for these vehicles not to be hugely popular in, because they are ridiculous little vehicles, and these are two gigantic countries. But these two countries, USA and Australia, they seem to be two countries where these little Hunters have a gigantic cult following. I'm going to focus my search, though, to look for my dream bike for the newest one, the CT125. If you're looking for frugality, you've got it. 190 miles per gallon. For any of the European watches, to give you some relativity, my Triumph Bonneville does 45 miles per gallon, and the Hunter does 190. It's got a tank range of 220 miles. My Bonneville has a range of about 150. 220 mile range, 120 kilos, so ultra lightweight, with 9 rampaging horses. God, I genuinely want one of these. I really want one. I could just see this being just fun, just simple fun. Take it on some crazy off-roading, put it on the back of whatever vehicle you may have. It's light enough to get some kind of bike ramp to put on it. It doesn't even need to be a hardcore 4x4 vehicle to have one of these. They're so tiny on the back. But was it ever sold in the UK? This is the big problem with these. These are really hard to find. I could only find a handful, and I do mean a handful, 4 of these in the UK is all I could find at time of filming. So these are not easy bikes to find, but I have found one and only one that's coming in at under £4,000. So I'm not going to lie to you and pretend this is a good value bike. This is a cheap bike. It's actually really quite expensive for a very simple little 125, but the market dictates what the prices are. And these are desirable bikes that people want, so the price is going to be high. Look, I would pay $4,000 for this bike, even though I know it's a bit ridiculous paying $4,000 for this bike, because I really, really want it. And if you want something enough, common sense completely goes out of the window. So I don't even care, it's $4,000. I don't care, you can get bikes 10 times better than it for less money. I want this bike. £3,950, it's parked in someone's living room with some family photos behind it. It looks well loved. What do you notice about this here? As new condition, aftermarket exhaust, 2024 model, and I have to assume this top bit is right, 22,000 miles on the clock. Can that be true from a one-year-old Honda Hunter? If it has that kind of mileage on it, then, well, you're going to be giving Nathan Millward a run for his money on what he did for his. There you go. Honda Hunter. On now to a documentary in waiting. As this video comes out, there are 9 days left for funding for this. So we're right at the end of this now. This is an email I got from Sarah. Freddie, I'm wondering whether you may be willing to help spread the word about an upcoming documentary which I'm producing with the help of Charlie Borman. It's about my great-grandfather, Cyril Williams, who won the Isle of Man TT in 1920 in somewhat extraordinary circumstances, and who, along with his AJS teammates, signed up to be dispatch riders in World War I, taking their bikes to France with them. So the title of this is Across the Line, War Heroes of the TT with Charlie Borman, a documentary about the Isle of Man TT racers who became World War I dispatch riders and their bravery, which bordered on madness. So they're aiming to get to, I really want to share this because this looks like a really good project to unearth some heroic and fascinating motorbike tales. They're aiming to get to £65,000 in funding to be able to make this documentary with Charlie Borman, and maybe 10 days to go or so. So do take a look if you're interested in that kind of stuff, because I've been doing quite a bit of research on this. Some of the stories behind this, the photos, it's really, really fascinating. And a story that I hope does get told. Sarah, the best of luck with that. Bike of the week. This is from Tom. Freddie, I just watched through your video from today where you're picking the colour for the custom Harley-Davidson Street Bob that you're designing. And I thought I'd send you pictures of the 1994 Lowrider that I had, as the colour looks quite similar to what you've chosen. Tom, I did not know this. This was a standard Harley-Davidson colour called Aqua Pearl. And this is Tom's old Harley. Tom, I did not know this. Some of the old colours Harley did, actually. They were really, really nice. Here's some pics of it when I bought it, and then when I customised it a bit. Tom, I really like these. These old Harleys, this kind of stripped back, easygoing lowrider Harley. For me, these are coming right back into fashion now, and especially that era. Cars exactly the same, late earlys into the 1990s. Now, this is the bang on. You can see it in all of the auctions, especially the car auctions. Cars from the 40s, 50s, even 60s. Prices have plummeted. They're becoming close to worthless. And as the prices of the 1960s vehicles drops like that, the prices of the 1980s and 90s vehicles is going like that. It always happens when a certain generation dies out, and then that new generation who remember bikes or cars from their past, and they got a bit of money to buy them back again, then the prices start rising. And these old Harleys from the 90s, I love them. So, the Lowrider, first launched in 1977 at the Daytona Bike Week Festival. And this was Harley's biggest selling model in its first full year of production, 1978. This was the Harley Davidson to buy. Strip back, low seat, it's vintage Harley. If you ask someone to describe, to draw what a Harley-Davidson is, this would pretty much be it. It's like the blueprint Harley. It's the the absolute iconic silhouette of a Harley-Davidson. It's what first got me really interested in Harley-Davidson, this exact style of bike. Damn it. This is going to be a really expensive episode because I genuinely want one of these as well now. So I'm going to have a look. First off, I'm going to have a look and see if I can find a 1990s, a really vintage one. The problem with Harley-Davidson, they do these absolutely ridiculous names such as FXTCB, FXHSP, depending on the different era of a certain model. So the tip I've got, if you're looking for a certain era of Harley, you need to go and find exactly what these ridiculous letters are and then type those letters into your search to be able to find one. So I couldn't find any 1990s lowriders, maybe because I've got this string of letters wrong. But what I have done is found two bikes that really interest me. And if I were in the market, if I had the money, these are the two I'd be looking at. Harley-Davidson Dyna from 2015. You know, these are not that much money. This is a 10-year-old bike. I didn't expect to be able to get one for this kind of money. £8,600 for this. You know, it's coming in from a dealer, just a 10-year-old Harley, 15,000 miles. Again, iconic, classic, stripped back, simple, beautiful engineering. Oh, I love that bike. And I've got one more. This is not a lowrider, but I was typing in some random FXSB something letter, and this ended up popping up on eBay. It just shows you have to just type in some random stuff to see what you can get, because this would never pop up for me otherwise. 1994, exactly the same era as Tom's, in fact, exactly the same year as Tom's, £4,500. This is especially interesting because it's got the bulletproof Evo engine. Just take a look at that styling. That now, 31 years on, is perfection, in my humble opinion. That looks so good. This bike is this kind of almost impossible to ignore value because at some point in its life, it was, let me just double check this. I believe it was a write-off. Yes, it was 2023. So a year and a half ago, coming up to 2 years ago, it was a write-off with the exception to the left side fuel tank. There appears to be no further damage. So a bit of damage on the left side of the fuel tank. That's about it. It's got an MOT all the way up to next year, 32,000 miles on the clock, runs and rides superbly. That's how you get a bargain. You know, a write-off with a little bit of damage, either sort the damage out or just leave it as it is. It looks excellent as it is. That is so tempting at that price, and I will wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Wish me luck in Norway, and I'll see you in the next one.